Blessed are the weird people.
Poets.
Misfits.
Painters.
Writers.
Troubadours.
For they teach us to see the world through different eyes.
This is Blessed Are the Weird on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Jacob Nordby.
Hello, my friends, blessed weirdians. Wherever in the world you might find yourself today, I'm Jacob Nordby, and I'm so happy to be with you. You know, it's always funny for me when the show music starts in my ears, in my headset, I get this feeling of excitement. And today I just got a big grin on my face because I'm excited about this show, and I'm excited about some of the changes we're making in this show because we started out doing, you know, some interviews and some things like that, and I will continue that. In fact, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be bringing back my dear friend Paul Boynton, who had a show here on Empower Radio called Begin With Yes. We're going to be bringing him back because he's a dear friend and he's so relevant to what we talk about. But I've noticed that I've had this itchiness about the format, and not because we haven't had great guests and great material, we have, but I've had this desire to make a better connection with you, not just talk to a bunch of people out there. I really want to talk to you. I want to know that this is relevant in your life and that you can ask questions and connect and engage with me and some of the other guests, and we can actually share your journey, because again, this isn't about me and my journey, even though I get to be the one talking through the microphone right now. This is about all of us. And like, who is it? Ram Dass says, we're all just walking each other home. And that's why I call myself your fellow traveler, among other things. So anyway, you're going to find that we're switching some things up as we go into the end of this year and the next year, and maybe even start taking some callers. We're working on the technical aspects of that with Empower Radio, take some calls so we can talk to at least one person during each show. And I would love that so much. So let's see, this week, big news for me was I debuted my first article on the Good Men Project. That's goodmenproject.com. And I encourage you to check out that. It was named in the top 100 most interesting blogs by Daily Tech. And that, I think they get over 5 million page views a month. So it's really a wonderful opportunity. And I've been writing, my first article went in the Good for the Soul section, but I have some other ones coming out pretty soon. So I'm excited and inspired by these opportunities. But today I wanted to take off from what happened last week. Suzanne Michel joined me, and she wanted to help refine this question of who we really are and that big journey into something really practical. And so we did this hand exercise, show me your hand, and I'm going to be talking about that in a little bit later during today's show, because it feeds into what I'm talking about today, which is prison break. And I got to tell you, I'm really stoked about this one, because I think we're really getting down into the heart, the juicy stuff, the nitty gritty, all those metaphors. Let's just, you know, stir it all in one big kettle of fish and boil it up and see what comes out. But prison break, that's what I named the show today. And I want to talk about where it is we find ourselves in limitation and where it is that we want to experience something different. And I want to warn you that if you don't care about this, you're going to want to shut the show off right now. Just let me count down 3, 2, 1. Okay, good. Hopefully everyone who doesn't care about experiencing more freedom in life has already turned off the show, because that's what we're talking about today. And I just don't want to bore you. If that's really what you're not all about, then that's perfectly okay. And the fact is, not everyone is. Okay, so I want to be real about that. Not everybody really cares about going outside the lines and finding out who they really are and experiencing this stuff. And so let's not pretend that's the case. But if you're still listening, I'm just going to assume you're one of those who does care about it. And you know what? That's what the Blessed or the Weird tribe I've come to find as I've stayed with this now for over a year, and then started to talk with the using the radio as part of the tool. And the more conversation I have, the more I realize that's what we really care about here, is experiencing more of ourselves in this world and finding out where we've been boxed in, finding out where we've been denying our truth and not feeling free to be who we are. And so that's what I'm excited about. Now, to sort of define the term, you know, I like to use the word prison break because it's just fun and it creates a picture in our heads, doesn't it? So I'm not thinking of prison so much in terms of, you know, a place that where you did something bad so you have to be punished. Let's talk more about it as a place of limitation. So this is, you know, we're talking about our limitations in life and what keeps us from feeling and being more free, feeling and being more of ourselves. And so if we're feeling stifled in some area, then that means that area of our life is kind of like a jail cell, kind of like something where we don't get to move outside of it as often as we want to. And we got to keep it real here because being a human is limiting in itself. So imagine for a minute how it is. I don't know where exactly we show up from or how it happens, but imagine how it must be to be this limitless consciousness, an expression of that, and show up the first breath the baby takes in the air in this world, to show up, take that breath and open our eyes and look around and all of a sudden be in this limited form. Imagine that. Imagine that as we wake up into self-awareness, so we have this babyhood and we're still very unlimited, you know, because we don't know any better. We don't know our limitations. And so the more we become aware of our bodies and our families and all the other constructs, the more limited we become. So we take on this framework and we take on this self. We begin to build, and actually most of it happens before we even are fully self-aware. The self we are, which later becomes, for some of us, becomes a prison. The self we are is built in most cases before we're, or I should say largely, in almost every case, everybody who's here pretty much experienced this. The self we know ourselves to be in the world is pretty much built by the time we wake up and say, oh, this is who I am. And so it's kind of funny that by the time we say this is who I am, most of the bricks that make up that were put in place before we really knew what was happening. Okay. And that's part of the reason we feel limited. That's part of the reason we wake up later and say, wait a minute, that's not who I really am. That's not who I want to be. But that's who we've always been. And so that's why it feels like a prison, because we don't really know, in most cases, how to be anybody else, how to be anything else. Some people are better at it than others. Some are more rebellious earlier on. I wasn't. I was a very compliant kid. I followed the rules, and those were prisons for me. But the other frameworks we're part of that we live within, we have families, and families have traditions and rituals and expectations and rules. And you know, our country, that's a large framework, but that's one of the definitions of who we are and how we are. You know, I'm an American, I'm a Canadian, I'm a Mexican, I'm a whatever those things are, those become those limitations for us. And then we take on other things like society. This is who I am inside of that, or our job. And pretty soon we actually box ourselves down into this or a series of these little boxes, and we really don't know who we are outside of those. And if you're one like I have been in my life earlier and are feeling stifled by those, then you're who I want to talk to. If you're feeling stifled by those boxes and really don't know how to break out of it, then that's what I'm excited about talking about today. So let's go back to the prison metaphor just for a minute here and think kind of about that, what that means. So if you can imagine, I've never actually been in jail, but I've visited jails a few times. I would like it if I don't ever have to spend any time in jail because I did something, you know, so across the line that they couldn't do anything else but just stick them in a cell. I'd really like that, because to me that wouldn't be a lot of fun. But I've visited jails, and I've known people who were in jails, and so let's just a minute. Let's take the punishment aspect out of it and just imagine that somehow or other we showed up in a jail, and imagine what that means. We have to learn who we can trust, who we have to fear, you know. And I'm sure we've all watched shows where, you know, or movies where people were in prison. I watched Prison Break for a while, that show, and that was interesting for a season or two. I actually kind of thought I was hoping they would end it after the first season. It just seemed like it kind of went on beyond its usefulness there. I kept wanting them to go ahead and break out, you know, and be done with it. But anyway, but prison, you know, this prison thing. So we learn who we can trust, who we have to fear, what the rules are, you know, which gang we're part of, who we don't get to look at, who we get to look at, and then how to keep our heads down and stay out of trouble. And if you think about that in context of our lives, isn't that the way it is, you know, in school, in our relationships with our friends, at work? Isn't it interesting how we kind of apply those same basic rules, prison rules, if you will, to a lot of different areas of our lives, and we learn what's not safe. We learn where it's not safe to be or do, you know, how we want to be. And frankly, it's good to know those things, because if we don't know how to navigate, then we can really spend a lot of our time in pain. And that's, you know, that's just needless. We don't have to have ourselves in pain all the time, I don't think. But for some of us, there comes a time when it's no longer good enough just to operate by these rules, and we need to be able to move outside of them. We need to experience ourselves in a different way, and we have to look outside of our cell, if you will. And I'll never forget when that happened for me, and I actually read a quote on Facebook today by my good friend John Fleming, who's just a dear friend of mine from Austin, Texas. And he has John Fleming has a voice like an angel, and I mean that. I've seen him sing, and he's blown me away, and we've just become really good friends. I was able to see him in Texas last year when I went back there. And anyway, we exchanged a lot of notes and things. But here's what he posted today, just as I was doing show notes, and I just thought, man, this is perfect. So this talking about this time when we wake up and realize something's got to change. It says here, this is by Gary Zukav, there comes a time when the pain of continuing exceeds the pain of stopping. At that moment, a threshold is crossed. What seems unthinkable becomes thinkable. Slowly, the realization emerges that the choice to continue what you have been doing is the choice to live in discomfort. And the choice to stop what you've been doing is the choice to breathe deeply and freely again. Once that realization has emerged, you can either honor it or ignore it, but you cannot forget it. What has become known cannot become unknown again. What has become known cannot become unknown again. You know, you can't unring that bell sometimes. And I'll never forget when that started to happen in my life. I would be starching my shirts for church the next day, and I was listening to things like Carolyn Mace, Sacred Contracts, or Wayne Dyer, Your Sacred Self, or Deepak Chopra, some of these different ones who came along, their books and audio things came along as these amazing messengers, and I would feel that bell being rung. And I'll never forget watching the movie Dead Poets Society. That was another one of those that, for me, it just rang this bell. Boom, gong. It's actually a gong. And that showed up in my book, The Divine Arsonist, which, by the way, I don't talk about that very often. But in context of this show, I want to encourage you, if you haven't read my book, The Divine Arsonist, since you're one of those who didn't turn off the show earlier when I gave you the chance, you get to hear my pitch for that. Now, but this talks about my own journey of freedom and how it continues. And I want to encourage you to go get that on Kindle, or it's on audio, it's paperback, all different ways. You can find it on Amazon, or you can go to my website, jacobnordby.com/books. Actually, I'm having a sale on this coming up right before Thanksgiving. So on Amazon, you'll be able to get it for almost nothing. Anyway, in that book, the early feeling of that was this gong, this inevitability, this call to freedom, and the feeling of it inside me. And I mean, this is very visceral for me, because this is exactly what happened. I could feel it in my body when I would get information that says, you can't stay there anymore. It's time for you to do something different. And guys, I was so afraid. I was so terrified because I did know very well how to live inside the prison. I knew what the rules were. I knew how to not get in trouble. I knew how to stay safe. And so for me, when I had that gong, when that bell rang, that I knew inside would never get unrung, for me, that created this choice. And it said, what are you going to do with me? How are you going to move forward? Can you move forward? So I want to talk about some specifics because I like to move into the practicalities of this a little bit. And I'm actually reading some minds right now, and you're going, okay, this is neat. We're talking about some big ideas here. But I want to read your mind, and I want to actually deliver something you can take home with you. And I'm going to go back to my show from last week where we talked with Suzanne Michelle about the show me your hand exercise. And if you haven't done that, I'm going to ask Laura, my producer, to put a link to that show on this show's page. So you can actually link back and listen to that and grab this exercise because it's called Show Me Your Hand. And in that exercise, Suzanne had us walk through, hold up your hand and label your five fingers with the various areas of your life, your health, your relationship, your work, your free time, and you know your service, what you do for other people, and then say which one of those, just do a snap feeling. Does that feel light or does that feel heavy? Does that feel good? Does that feel not great? And so the ones, if you go back and listen to that, and I really encourage you to do that because now we're talking about real stuff here. Now we're talking about ways we can look outside of what we've been up to. And by the way, holiday times, and we're headed directly into holiday with Thanksgiving next week in the U.S., and then Christmas, Hanukkah, various beautiful holidays. And I just love this season. It's just magical for me in a lot of ways. But for a lot of people, the holidays are really stressful and really painful because we go back to – sometimes we go back to homes where we are seen in ways. So if you've left home and you live in a different place, you get to kind of be yourself. And then a lot of times during the holidays, for example, we go back – to with people or around people, maybe around friends we don't see very often or maybe around family members, and we get back in those dynamics and we can feel the heaviness and sometimes the unexamined wounds and the unprocessed anger and some things that we've never have really looked at. And that's why people a lot of times dread the holidays. They go back in these situations that things feel really heavy. And so using this exercise, I just wanted to point that out as one aspect of this. That's one time of the year, a lot of times we notice we're in prison or, you know, in this self that we were, and we don't want to go back there or we want to get out of it. And we want to show people who we really are. So I want to encourage you to listen to the show from last week and use the hand exercise and realize that the fingers on that hand, your health, your relationship, your work, what you do, is it fulfilling your free time activities, you know, your hobbies and what you do for pleasure? Are those fulfilling or are those just checking boxes? Are those really boring? And then the service you do for other people, is that out of obligation or is that because you just, it fills you up with joy? And I would say to you that if some of those fingers feel really heavy, those are the prison cells. Those are the prison cells. And those are the ones we can do something about. I want to read you something here. I wrote this, and again, pretty much everything I write for myself, so it makes everything very personal for me, and then I share it, and I find that when I share it and people really connect with it, that means that I'm not very different from the rest of you, which I like. That's kind of neat. I like to fit into a tribe. But here's what I wrote. When you no longer need approval from others, like the air you breathe, the possibilities in life are endless. What an interesting little prison we build from the invisible bricks of other people's opinion. And you know, that's what I think is probably one of our biggest prison cells, probably the one that where we feel the most boxed in of any, is the needing the approval from other people and trying to manage their opinions. So then we build this invisible prison with these invisible bricks, and then we can't figure out why we can't breathe. And now let me read you another one I wrote along these same lines. Let me tell you something. Live your truth right out in the open. No hiding or apologizing for who you are. What do you have to lose? The good opinion of other people? Believe me, they have no idea how to do life. And if they're looking at you at all when you're busy living your truth, it's probably with a mixture of curiosity and admiration for the boldness they can't muster. I'll never forget when I learned that for myself, and I have to keep learning it, by the way. I have to keep testing it and remembering it. But I'll never forget what a tremendous realization it was for me that people really weren't thinking about me very much at the time. I would walk through my days and try to manage other people's opinion of me. Okay, do they like how I look? Do they like how I just did that? Is that going to work? Maybe I shouldn't do that because they might think this. When I found out that most people operate inside of this sort of trance, even when you're talking, notice when you're talking to someone, how rare it is to talk to someone who really listens to you. Most of us operate inside this trance, and when other people are talking, we can see their lips moving and we can hear a few sounds, but really we're seeing them through our own filter. Okay, well, I want you to know that that's the way most people see you. And if you did something so shocking to them, something you knew you had to do, but it was so shocking, I mean, the worst thing you can the thing right now, I want you to ask yourself right now, the thing that you would love to do in your life, the thing that wakes you up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you desperately want to do this, and you've always been afraid to do it. I want you to imagine, so don't run out and do it right this second, but I want you to imagine yourself doing it. Picture yourself doing it in the world. And that might take the form of a change in your relationship, or it might take the form of a change in your job or something. And I want you to imagine why you haven't done it. In most cases, it comes down to, at least in large part, what other people are going to think about us. We can't bear the judgment of our tribe. Let me tell you what happens, though. And I know this for sure because I've actually done those things in my life. I've done those things a few times in my life where I've done what I didn't think was possible. And I did the things that I thought would, you know, the world would come to an end. And you know what I discovered in every single case? That, yeah, there were some people who didn't like what I did. And there were some people who thought it was great. And in both cases, it really didn't matter because it wasn't about them. Turned out that life went on, and those who didn't like me, in most cases, you know, came back around, and some didn't. But in all cases, life went on really, really quickly. And in most cases, people forgot about it altogether very, very quickly. And you know what? I was the one who was free. I was the one who got to then live and breathe free air. I don't know how to say this person's last name. This is Anthony Anaxagoro. I'm pretty sure I messed that up, but I posted on Blessed Are the Weird Facebook page recently. It says, rebellion is when you look society in the face and say, I understand who you want me to be, but I'm going to show you who I actually am. Now, I want to tell you that you don't necessarily have to go out there and do this with anger. In fact, I want to encourage you, don't have to at all. You can do all of this with great love. The important thing is you do it. The important thing, if you care, if you feel that knot in your stomach when you're facing these situations, I want to encourage you actually to play with this. Get playful with it. Do different things just for the sake of doing something different. I mean, and here's an exercise. When you put your pants on in the morning or your shoes, I want you to notice that you do things pretty much the same way all the time. I put my left foot in my left pant leg all the time. Just for the hell of it, I want you to try putting your right foot in your right leg or opposite, whichever you do the most, do the exact opposite. Try driving to work a different way tomorrow. Well, it's Saturday tomorrow, so hopefully you don't have to work. But if you do, do something different. Just play with it. Experience it. Okay? And this will just be playful and fun. And I want you to start noticing that you don't die. And then start pushing the boundary of that a bit more. Start playing with this feeling of freedom, the feeling of freedom, and then feel how your life expands. And I want to read you something from Hafiz. My dear sister sent me this a long time ago, and then some friends of mine have also sent it, and it's one of my very favorite. It says here, "The small man builds cages for everyone he knows, while the sage, who has to duck his head when the moon is low, keeps dropping keys all night long for the beautiful rowdy prisoners. The small man builds cages for everyone he knows, while the sage, who has to duck his head when the moon is low, keeps dropping keys all night long for the beautiful rowdy prisoners." And that's Hafiz. So, my beautiful rowdy prisoner friends, all of us on this planet experiencing the limitation of being human, but wanting to feel and be more, I want to thank you so much for being with me today, and I would love it if you would go to my website and use the contact form, send me questions, send me your thoughts. We will be starting to answer and talk about those things on the air. I want to wish you a beautiful holiday week next week. We'll be doing a best of show, so we won't be live, and then the following week with Paul Boynton. Folks, thank you so much. Thanks to Empower Radio for this wonderful stage on which to play, and I want to encourage you to get your shine on.